Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY18 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Jason D'Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Inba. Welcome to Glenmark's Q4 earnings call. Before we start the call, I would like to introduce the management at the call. We have with us Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Robert Mattson, President, Global North America and API Business, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer. Before we start the call, we'd like to give a brief on the various businesses of the company, so I would like to hand it over to Bob for a brief on the U.S. business.
Thank you, Jason, and thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Before I give the quarterly update for the U.S. business, I'd like to mention on May 21st, Glenmark submitted the company's first-ever new drug application to the FDA for Ryaltris, our investigational fixed-dose combination nasal spray of an antihistamine and a steroid as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in patients in 12 years of age and older. Ryaltris, formerly known as GSP301 nasal spray, has been conditionally accepted by the FDA as the brand name. We expect the FDA will determine whether the NDA is complete for filing within 60 days. If the NDA is accepted, the Prescription Drug User Fee Act, PDUFA, target action date will be assigned at that time. The North American finished dosage form business, which includes Canada and the U.S., closed the fourth quarter with recorded revenues of $108.87 million, or rupees 6,995 million. The revenue for the entire fiscal year was INR 32,075 million, or $498 million. We believe that for the U.S. business, the first quarter sales of the financial year will remain at the same levels as Q4 FY 2018 or improve further. On the approval side of the fourth quarter of FY 2017-18, the U.S. was granted one approval, clobetasol propionate spray 0.05%. In addition, since the first quarter of FY 2018-19, the U.S. was granted four additional approvals: tacrolimus ointment 0.1% on April 16th, clobetasol propionate topical solution USP 0.05% April 18th, clobetasol propionate cream 0.05% May 10th, 2018, and Colsuvalam hydrochloride tablets 625 milligram May 18th, 2018. For generic Welchol, or Colsuvalam, we are at currently 10%-15% market share, and we expect to reach market share of 25%-30%. For tacrolimus ointment, we are currently at 15%-20% market share and expect to reach up to 25%-30% in market share. The U.S. business expects to launch an additional 10-12 products in the financial year, including 5-6 differentiated/limited competition generics. Glenmark continues to gain market share in both new and existing products, building new businesses for both new and current products. In total, we have 21 ANDA approvals year to date, with 18 final approvals and three tentative approvals. The company also filed seven ANDA applications with the U.S. FDA this quarter and plans to file an additional three applications in the forthcoming quarter. The company has filed a total of 16 ANDA applications with the U.S. in this financial year. Glenmark's marketing portfolio consists of 134 generic products authorized for distribution in the U.S. market. The company currently has 63 applications pending in various stages of the approval process with the U.S. FDA, of which 26 are Paragraph IV applications. The global API business had a good quarter. Revenue for the sale of API in regulated and semi-regulated markets globally was rupees 2,048.62 million for the fourth quarter ending March 31st, 2018, as against rupees 1,997.24 million for the previous quarter, recording an increase of 2.57%. From the market perspective, we want to make note of several things. First, price erosion continues to be a challenge for the business. Price erosion for the quarter edged up to 12% from the previous 10 to 12% guidance. As most of us are aware, this was primarily due to ongoing consolidation of purchasers and as an industry. Despite ongoing price erosion in the business, as well as those of many of our generic manufacturers, we continue to see more initiatives to regulate the pricing and or implement pricing transparency. This will continue to be a challenging environment, and we should expect it to remain that way for at least the next four quarters until we launch Ryaltris. With the diversification of our business segments, including complex generics, specialty branded products, and innovative products, we are optimistic regarding our strategy to create growth and value for the company. And with that, I will turn the call back over to Jason to talk about the progress we are making on our innovation pipeline.
Thanks, Mark. Just before the innovation pipeline, a brief on the other businesses. First, the India business. The India business sales from the India business for the fourth quarter was at 608 million, recording growth of 5.5%. As per IQVIA MAT March 2018, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals is the 9th in market share. Glenmark is the second largest growing company as per MAT 2018. The India business strengthened itself across the segments, which is the cardiac segment, where the market share has increased from 3.97 to 4.26. The respiratory segment, the market share rose from 4.52 to 4.75. And in the dermatology segment, where the market share increased from 9.17 to 9.20. During the quarter, Glenmark launched the biosimilar of Adalimumab, brand name Adali, under a licensing agreement with Cadila Healthcare. The company also launched Nuclein Women Tablets through an exclusive licensing agreement with Denmark headquartered firm Pharma Medico. Besides this, Glenmark continues to remain a leader in dermatology, and we have been in the forefront of introducing new products. Recently, the company introduced Aprizo, which is Acrivella for psoriasis. The launch of Adali and Nuclein Women further re-emphasizes the company's focus towards developing treatments for unmet medical needs in the area of dermatology. Glenmark Consumer Care Business. Glenmark forayed into the OTC business space over a few years ago. In a short time, the company has built a sizable OTC business driven by three major brands operating in the consumer space now: Candid, Rewash Plus, and Scal Plus. Candid Dusting Powder, the 30-year-old flagship brand for the company, has been a prescription leader for the treatment of antifungal infection and is now a leading product even in the OTC business. Through the introduction of this brand, Rewash Plus, Glenmark has successfully created the female intimate hygiene category in India. The company further expanded its product offering through the introductions of Rewash Wow Sand Naps, Rewash extension into the 3,500-crore sanitary napkin category, further propels the brand towards the vision of owning the intimate hygiene space. Rewash Wow has been well received across the sales channel within 3 months of launch. Over a short period of time, Glenmark Consumer Care Business has grown its top line in excess of 150 crores. As per MAT March 2018, Glenmark's leading brand Candid recorded 18.1% value growth with market share of about 56%. Scalp is also ranked number one in its operating market with a market share of 15% as per MAT March 2018. Rewash brand recorded value growth of 24% with market share of 42% across all sales channels. Commenting on the recent inspections, the Pithampur plant at Indore was inspected by the US FDA from May 14, 2018 to May 24, 2018. The plant received 5 observations, which were communicated via the Form 483. The company will respond to the observations within the stipulated time frame. Further, the company received the approval for colloselum hydrochloride tablet, the generic version of Renfoil tablet, which is manufactured at the same plant on May 18, 2018. Glenmark was also granted the final approval of tacrolimus ointment 0.1%, which is also manufactured at the same plant. On the North Carolina facility, Glenmark's manufacturing facility in the U.S. was commissioned in 2014 by in Mondo, North Carolina. The Mondo plant in the U.S. also underwent an inspection by the U.S. FDA from May 14, 2018 to May 18, 2018. The plant received the Form 483 with 2 observations. The company will respond to the observations within the stipulated time frame. This was the first inspection by the U.S. FDA at the Mondo plant. The company expects to begin commercial supplies of oral products from H2 FY19. The company, Glenmark, also plans to file injectables and nebulizers from the Monroe facility during FY19. Moving on to the other region, the Africa, Asia and CIS region. For the fourth quarter, revenue of Africa, Asia and CIS region was 2985 million, recording an increase of 3.32%. As for March 2018, Glenmark Russia showed a degrowth of -5.7% in value versus overall market growth of 3.3% and ranks 41 in the retail segment of the Russian pharmaceutical market. The lower than market growth being attributed to the decline in demand on two key products, Ascoril and Oclomil nail lacquers, on account of the launch of the new Amlodipine generic. Glenmark continues to be a strong player in the dermatology segment in Russia and continues to rank 9 among the top 10 players in the derma market. The Asia region, the secondary sales growth was led by key subsidiaries such as Malaysia and Philippines. The Glenmark Africa region also posted strong secondary sales growth in the fourth quarter, aided by a good performance across most of the subsidiaries. Europe operations, Glenmark Europe operations revenue for the fourth quarter was 3189 million, recording an increase of 38.81%. The Europe subsidiary performed well during the quarter. The Western Europe business continued to expand through increased penetration in UK, Netherlands, Spain, and further expansion of the sales product portfolio in Germany. The overall regional growth was led by multiple new product launches across key markets. Manoc Protect, which was launched in the US through in the UK through a pharmacy license, continues to perform well even in the fourth quarter of the year. During the third quarter of FY18, Glenmark successfully closed the decentralized registration procedure for generic Seretide Acuhaler in the Nordic region, including Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland, and Iceland. This will be Glenmark's first inhaled respiratory product approval in Europe and reinforces Glenmark's commitment in the respiratory area. Subsequently, Glenmark is the first generic company to receive regulatory approval for the substitution in Denmark for its generic Seretide Acuhaler and has subsequently launched this product. Latin America. The Latin America region continues to remain challenging. Revenue was 1276 million, recording a decrease of 4.75%. The API business, the revenue sales from the API business recorded an increase of 2.57% to 2048.62 million. Glenmark operated in the API business in 2003 and over the last 15 years has built a large business based on strong product selection, focused on key regulated markets, maintaining high operational efficiencies, and a strong compliance culture. The company has robust R&D capabilities in API for developing an attractive pipeline and achieving cost efficiencies to overcome external market challenges. During the quarter, Glenmark also successfully concluded the US FDA audit of the API plant at Mohol and is awaiting the EIR from the agency. Moving on to the R&D side, in our innovative research and development pipelines, I'd like to highlight a number of highlights during the quarter. As you may be aware, the company has 7 pipeline assets, including 2 NCEs, 4 MBEs, and a biosimilar candidate in various stages of development, focused on 3 core therapeutic areas, oncology, dermatology, and respiratory. Of particular note, as Bob mentioned, Glenmark announced our first NDA filing submission for Ryaltris by the US FDA on May 21st and is a major step in our company's transition into an innovation-led discovery-driven life sciences company. On some of the other highlights of the oncology portfolio, our lead immuno-oncology candidate from a proprietary B platform is GBR1302, a HER2 CD3 bispecific antibody, and a potential treatment for HER2-positive cancers. GBR1302 phase 1 first-in-human study to determine MTD in patients with HER2-positive cancer is actively enrolling. Dose escalation continues in 9 participating clinical sites across Germany and the US. The study is currently dosing patients in cohort 9 and will continue until MTD is reached. We recently announced the study for GBR1302, which will be expanded to explore higher doses and to examine potential clinical benefit of a once-weekly dosing regimen. Additionally, based on the predictive response rates observed in ex vivo translational studies, a phase 1b2 study is being designed and will include an expansion cohort of HER2-positive metastatic breast cancer patients. In addition, translational data in trastuzumab-resistant cancers will be presented at the 2018 annual meeting of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Perceptin is the brand name for trastuzumab. Our second investigational immuno-oncology candidate from our B platform is GBR1342, a bispecific antibody targeting CD38 as well as CD3 T-cells co-receptors. CD38 is an antigen target implicated in multiple myeloma and other malignancies of hematopoietic origin.
as well as a variety of solid tumors. A phase 1 study in human, first-in-human study to determine MTD in patients with multiple myeloma dosed its first patient in December 2017. The study is currently dosing patients in cohort 5 with patients already being identified for enrollment into cohort 6. Clinical sites continue to identify patients for possible enrollment into the study. Up to 10 cohorts are planned for this MTD portion of the study. The study's primary objective is to assess the safety and tolerability of increasing doses of GBR1342. Additional study objectives include assessment of biomarkers and measures of anti-tumor activity. Looking now at an innovative dermatology pipeline, the company's leading biology candidate is GBR830, an anti-OX40R monoclonal antibody, which was discovered at Glenmark's Biology Center in Australia. The molecular target of 830 is to inhibit pathologically activated T cells and effect the memory T cells, which are involved in a variety of autoimmune and chronic inflammatory disorders. The lead indication being evaluated for GBR830 is moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Glenmark delivered an oral presentation on new data analysis of the GBR830 phase 2A trial completed last year at the IID meeting in May. New data from the study demonstrated the treatment with GBR830 resulted in observable modulation of biomarkers with both acute and chronic stages of atopic dermatitis. In addition to the oral presentation, Glenmark also presented 3 posters at the IID meeting. We are currently evaluating GBR830 for a study in patients with SLE. For our respiratory candidates under development, as we mentioned, the NDA filing submission for Ryaltris has happened. We expect FDA to determine whether the NDA is complete for filing within 16 days in and around July. Additionally, 2 manuscripts on the pharmacokinetics of Ryaltris were accepted for publication in the Journal of Allergy and Asthma Proceedings, and Glenmark presented phase 3 on Ryaltris at the WAO Joint Congress in March 2018. To close out, our biosimilar candidate called Xolair GBR310 for the treatment of atopic and chronic idiopathic urticaria or hives finished the phase 1 study last visit on April 30, 2018. Top line results are expected in July 2018 and the company is planning to initiate a phase 3 study in H1 CY 2019. GBR310 has the potential to be among the first biosimilar candidates to be submitted to the FDA for approval for a respiratory or allergic disease in the US. With this, I would like to read the notes on the P&L and the balance sheet. Gross debt as of March 31, 2018 was at 4639 crores as against 4723 crores. Cash was at 1235 crores as against 1056 crores. The cash includes a refund of GST to the extent of 90 crores, which was received in the last day of March of the financial year. Net debt was at 3404 crores as on March 31st, 2018, as against 3667 crores, a reduction of 263 crores as compared to the previous year. The company had guided to INR 250 to 300 crores debt reduction for the financial year. Forex gain for the quarter, which is included other income, was at 65 crores. Inventory was at 2030 crores as compared to 2139 crores. Receivables was at 2332 crores as compared to 2404 crores. Payables was at 170 crores for the year. Net worth accretion for the year was at 665 crores. The FCTR for the year was 70 crores. The total net worth for the company stands at 5135 crores as per Ind AS. Cash tax for the year was 330 crores, thus cash tax for the year was 29% to PBT. Reported tax for the year was at 28% to PBT. In the last FY, cash tax was at 46.4% to PBT. R&D for Q4 was at 320 crores, translating to 14.04% to net sales. For the year, total R&D was at 1122 crores, translating to 12.33% to net sales. R&D for the last year was at 1262 crores. Of the 1122 crores, 432 crores was spent on generics R&D, which constitutes 38% of the total R&D spends, and 690 crores was spent on innovation stroke specialty R&D, which constitutes 62% of the overall R&D spend. The company in the financial year has generated free cash flow of approximately 250 crores after working capital and total asset addition. This free cash flow has gone towards the reduction of net debt. asset addition was to the extent of 699 crores. Intangible asset addition was to the extent of 297 crores, comprising of 265 crores of products in licensed sort licensing agreements and 32 crores of computer software. Amortization for the year was to the extent of 152 crores, which is reported as part of depreciation, which is at 301 crores. Guidance for FY 2018-19, top line guidance will be in the range of 10-15% at constant currency. We believe that the US margins will continue to remain under pressure. The R&D expenditure for the organizations will be at 12% to next year. The company will continue to focus on free cash flow generation, monetize its R&D through out-licensing and partnering its innovative specialty molecule, and continue to deleverage the balance sheet through internal cash generation and corporate actions. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers to the Glenmark management team. Over to you, Inba.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question was on Ryaltris. Now that we've submitted it and, we await FDA's acceptance of our application, how do you look at commercialization of the product? And would this be through own sales force, contracted sales force, any, color there?
Sure. So we still haven't made a final decision whether we're going to offer this to a partner. But if we decide to do this ourselves, this will be a classic branded product model in which we have a sales force that goes and details physicians, and we also discuss the benefits of the product with managed care to make sure reimbursement occurs.
But it's not confirmed that we would do it ourselves or through a partner.
Not yet.
Okay. Second question is on the U.S. business. Overall, we've got a couple of good approvals to start the year off with. How do you look at the U.S. trajectory? A lot of our peers have been indicating, stabilization in the price erosion trajectory. So what's our view on how we should look at U.S. business growth, particularly given the 10 to 12% constant currency revenue growth that you've mentioned?
Yeah, we feel like the Q4 was pretty much the trough. We'll start seeing better top-line sales numbers moving forward. That being said, we still see some headwinds with the price erosion. But overall, we forecast growth positively for this coming fiscal year.
And this is assuming competition in Mupirocin?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. And my last is, Jason, I think you mentioned that you would look at reducing debt through the FCF generation and corporate action. Any color on what you mean by corporate action?
I think it will be difficult for us to give color on that front. I mean, the objective is to clearly reduce debt. I think that is the focus for us and deleverage the balance sheet.
And any amount you would want to mention here?
We don't have any specific amount.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and good morning to all. So first question is on the R&D spend. Just trying to understand this better. Now with the Ryaltris being filed in Q1, and you talked about GBR 830 progressing to phase 2B. So would the share of the innovative R&D spend would substantially increase within your 12% R&D budget?
So Prakash, I think it will keep switching between the specialty portfolio and the innovative portfolio, okay, because We also have a Xolair phase 3 coming up next year. So this year, I think the GBR 830 phase 2B, we may end up spending most of the R&D spend on. Next year, that will switch to the Xolair biosimilar phase 3, right? So I think, you know, if we can sustain a 12% overall R&D spend, I think we are in good shape.
Okay, and this does not includes any netting up with respect to any licensing income that we might receive this year, given that
no.
There are out-licensing possibilities?
No, it does not.
Okay, and any color on how we have progressed in terms of discussion? Like last time we talked about that fiscal 18, at least one molecule we'll look to, you know, out-license. So any progress in any of the molecules? Because all are progressing well, where we need to monetize one at least.
So I think very clearly, you know, that's a big objective for us for this year, right, to out-license, to do some out-licensing deals. Now, as I mentioned last time, we are looking at possible regional out-licensing deals, partnering some of our products maybe for markets like China, Japan, as opposed to global deals, right? We are pursuing both, but, you know, in all likelihood, this year could be, you could see either regional deals or a global deal. And clearly, from a portfolio perspective, you know, we've got multiple discussions on both the oncology assets, GBR 1302, 1342, and GBR 830. So I think licensing is clearly a key priority for us this year.
Okay, and secondly, on your comment in the press release where you said that, you know, you expect pricing erosion to continue, but 2019 we expect much better versus, you know, last year, given the launches that you've seen in the beginning of the year. I think there's a comment made that you're expecting about 10 to 12 launches. Would that be enough to grow on that base, given that one quarter you already had, you know, big impact of Zetia sitting in last year?
So, I mean, I think, you know, both Colsevelam and Tacrolimus itself, right, if you just compute the market share that Bob talked about, right, mm-hmm. should give us a big upside, right, on where we were last year. I think all in all, the U.S. business will grow, but we can't guide to any specifics, right? And from here on, we think Q4 was the trough, and from Q1 onwards, you know, the sales will start inching up on account of some of the new approvals. But to answer your question specifically to, I mean, all our calculations are without Zetia, okay? That's the bottom line, Prakash, okay? Because we're keeping Zetia
from Q1, okay.
Absolutely. We're keeping Zetia out of the equation, right?
And that's the last headwind we'll have is Q1. After that, we're done with the headwinds with Zetia.
Understood. And lastly, I see that you've done one more deal with SCD Pharma. Last year we had done for Concerta and Suboxone with another partner. This one is for Opthal. So, I mean, what is the rationale partnering it? I mean, is it faster to market? Is it better R&D? Cost efficiencies there? What is the rationale? I mean, because we'll have to actually share the profits as well, right?
So I think strategically the way we've approached licensing for the U.S., right, is we've gone out and looked for products where we don't have capabilities internally and which are high technology products or in areas where we just don't have a presence. Ophthalmics is a classic example. Last year we did deals on Novaring, for instance, with a company called Elestra. That's moving forward nicely. We also have, you know, a nanopaclitaxel, you know, deal with Particle Sciences. We have a deal with Evonik on one of the products. So I think there's a number of different licensing deals that we've done with companies who are truly experts in the area of technology, right, and who've done this before, who have the capabilities. And because we don't have the capabilities internally, we've gone and licensed it. I mean, some of our competitors have actually gone and bought these compounds, right, bought similar products from, you know, some of the divestitures that happened and things like that. Our approach to it has been to license, because thereby we're getting more of the upside, and even though it's taking longer, the upfront monies are much smaller. So we are just augmenting our portfolio of products by licensing, whether it's ophthalmics, for instance, where we don't have any presence, or it's some of these complex generics, right, where we think we don't have the capability to do that.
And the profit share would be equal, or?
No, I mean, we get the bulk of the profit on these partnering deals. I mean, that's the way it's structured.
And we have to pay initial milestones to them, or?
There is some small upfront payments, right, on each of these deals.
Okay, thanks. I'll join back to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question. Glenn, on the U.S. plant, the new U.S. plant that you said is going to commission sometime during the year, I mean, what are the thoughts in terms of how strategically important is that plant for a U.S. Business, and, you know, what can we expect going forward from there?
So clearly, you know, we've invested a substantial amount in that U.S. in the U.S. plant, right? And now we have three lines running. The oral solid line, you know, we had the FDA and we're pretty positive about the inspection. And I think, you know, we should start commercial supplies in the second half of this year on oral solids. We also, the purpose of that line is to also file C2s out of that facility, right? And that's something we're working on. The second line is a nebulizer line, and the nebulizer line clearly helps both our generic business as well as we're looking at eventually taking some specialty products there. And then the third line is on the injectable side, right? Injectables, we are doing both lyophilized pre-filled syringes there. We have products like, you know, various products in the injectable space, which we are currently doing at a CMO, which we may actually move in-house on the injectable side. In addition, eventually a lot of our biologics, our biosimilars, a lot of that could be made internally. So I think overall that plant is of key strategic importance to the company from a long-term perspective, right, for assisting not just in the generic side of the business, but also in our in the work we're doing on the biologics and the biosimilars and products of those nature, right?
So how much have you invested in the facility?
Nitin, we have invested about 590 crores so far.
Okay, sir. Okay. So secondly, Glenn, on the European business, it's done pretty well for the year. I mean, now with these Seretide approvals finally getting, I mean, those approvals, those products getting launched in Nordic countries, so two things. One is, A, on Seretide, how do you see it playing out across, in terms of launches across various countries? And secondly, overall on Europe, how do you see it over the next 2 to 3 years?
So I think, you know, the generic Seretide, you know, is a great opportunity for us, right? I mean, we've started with the three Nordic countries and we started getting substitution, which is a huge positive, and that's reflective in the sales, right? And I think going forward, that will play a major role. Over the course of this year, I would even expect, you know, one or two of the major markets like Germany to come through, especially in the second half of this year. And that could be a big launch for us, right? So we are, you know, right now we are very, very optimistic on this product. It's a very large opportunity, as you know. It's about 700 million in sales across our markets. You know, between this year and next year, we should be able to commercialize in all the markets that we have a presence in. So I think overall continues to remain a pretty big opportunity overall.
And on the Europe growth in general, apart from Seretide-driven component, what else, you know, do you see interesting in the geography going forward?
So I think from an in-licensing perspective, we continue to in-license a number of products. We have a number of respiratory launches coming up in Europe in the course of this year and next year. That's another exciting opportunity. So I think Europe growth will continue to remain strong for the next few years.
And lastly, on some of the key patent products that you mentioned, can you update us on in terms of what could be probably potential filing sort of timelines for some of these bigger products like Suboxone, NuvaRing, and Concerta?
I mean, our thinking is starting this year, we will start filing some of these partner products, right? Some of the complex stuff. And, between this year and next year, right, you should see a host of filings going out on, particularly on the complex products.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We'll take our next question from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much, and good morning, everyone. For fiscal 18, I think you mentioned about 18 ANDA approvals in the U.S. So how many of these have been commercialized or that you want to commercialize?
Sorry, Sameer, you didn't get the question.
I think you mentioned for fiscal 18, you received 18 ANDA approvals. I think three were tentative plus. And of these 18, how many have you commercialized or want to commercialize?
I think most of the products, Sameer, that we get approval on, right, we commercialize.
Yeah, I'd say about 15 or so.
Okay, that's fine. And the next question is, how do you see the competitive outlook for Wellchol as you go forward? I think right now it's two generic, one also a generic, one innovator, if I'm not wrong. So how do you see this play out in the ensuing months?
I mean, Sameer, there are a lot of filers, right? We have no visibility to who's going to get approved next or what the time frame is. But right now, it's a three-player market, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And any color you can share on the pricing as it stands now? Is it a typical three-player pricing or is it better or worse?
I mean, I would consider it a typical three-player market at this point.
Oh, okay, perfect. And one final one, Glenn, from my side, which is beyond Xolair, how are you similar pipeline? How many candidates, what type, and what's the time frames?
So, Sameer, we have some other work going on, but it's relatively early. So I don't think we're talking about what we're doing next. So for now, it's safe to say that, from an investment perspective, the investments are all behind, Xolair, behind, now that Ryaltris is done, right? The investments are all going behind Xolair. GBR830, we think, can be pretty transformational for us, particularly having seen a positive phase 2A. And we are moving that forward in atopic dermatitis, running possible trials in lupus nephritis, SLE, and some other indications. We think it has a broad immunology capabilities, right, as a molecule. And then, of course, the oncology assets, right? I mean, the 1302, 1342, right? I mean, these are the four which are ahead, right, in the, from an investment perspective going forward.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from DSP BlackRock Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, Glenn. Could you speak about the potential growth? So I'm sort of intrigued by your guidance on the total top line growth of 10 to 12. Or was it 10 to 15?
Sorry, can you just repeat that?
Yeah, so your total top-line guidance for the year FY19 is 10 to 15% or is it 10 to 12%?
10 to 15%.
10 to 15. So could you talk about how much growth are you expecting in the India business given that the base has, a GST quarter?
So, Aditya, we're not breaking it out, ex-US, right, clearly the other geographies, including India, right, will grow between 10 to 15%, right? So that's the way we look at it, right? The U.S. business is the only wild card there. We don't know how the pricing environment will play out. And although we started the year very positively, right, with the two approvals on Colsevelam and Tacrolimus, right, which should give us a big bump up in the U.S. business, right? But it's always hard to predict what's going to happen in the US environment. But outside of US, if you take all our other markets, we feel pretty comfortable that the business will grow at 10 to 15%.
Okay, that's fair enough. And secondly, on the US pipeline, so any updates on Voltaren and any other key products that, you know, have been stuck for whatever R&D issues?
So I think, I mean, starting, we believe that there's a host of the six products that Bob talked about, which are differentiated. A lot of them, some of them belong to the derm side of things, and you should see some pretty exciting approvals if it all plays out, right, over the course of this year.
Right, but when you get CRLs, Glenn, you generally get a sense of whether, you know, it's a preliminary inquiry or is it a more deep, you know, or last stage inquiry. So all these five, six good approvals that you're expecting this year, would how many of them would be, you know, in your judgment, I was just a judgment call, but in your judgment, how many of these would be like on the stages of final inquiries and how many of them would be on a preliminary stage?
So Aditya, we wouldn't put it out if we didn't think that, you know, these would get approved, right? So we feel pretty good about the possibility of some of these getting approved. However, you know, it's extremely uncertain, okay? And in this environment, you know, it's very hard to predict specifically, right, when these will get approved and at what stage they are.
Fair enough. And Glenn, just another question on your R&D spend, the way you treat it. It's more of an accounting question. Some of our peers who are also big on biosimilars tend to capitalize some of their R&D, saying that, you know, they'll amortize it as and when the product gets launched. Why aren't we on that page? I mean, why are we taking a more conservative approach of writing off the entire R&D in the year it is incurred?
Actually, Aditya, money, this actually helps us, you know. In a way, it's much better to, you know, clean up the balance sheet, I mean, clean up the expense item and move on, you know. It's much better that way.
Okay. So but your accounting standards allow you to capitalize?
That will be at a much later date, but today, as of today, we don't do that.
Fair enough. Lastly, last question from my side, Glenn. This entire Chinese situation on the chemical side and the API side, where they are shutting down capacities, and you know, probably there is some price inflation in basic chemicals and API that we are sourcing from China. How much is Glenmark's exposure? So, what percentage of your API / basic material import, key starting material import, comes from China?
I don't know the exact number, Aditya, but there is a substantial amount that virtually every company actually imports from China, right, in terms of intermediates and KSMs. There has been some escalation that we are seeing, right, in raw material prices.
And with regards to our ability to pass on that to our end consumer, I mean, if it's captive, obviously it's internal, but external sales, are we able to pass it on to our customers?
Absolutely. I think we are able to pass on a lot of it to the end consumer.
Okay, Glenn, all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any participant who has a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Team, if you can update us on the cost efficiency program that we have talked about in the past. And a related question is on the margin outlook. I think we have seen margins actually come off in the second half of this year. How should we be looking at margins? I remember a few years back we had a aspirational goal of going back to 20%, 20 to 22%. So if you can give us a quick update on, you know, how should we be looking at margins? Those are my two questions. Thanks.
So I think cost efficiency, as you can see, you know, we've done quite a lot of work on that, right? Last year, some of it was evident. I think this year, even more, you will see further improvement in the cost structure, right? So there's a substantial amount of effort going on in improving our overall efficiencies. We have a number of consulting firms working closely with us, whether it's on SG&A, whether it's on your plant cost, whether it's on, you know, the GC procurement line items, supply chain. So we have a number of consulting firms who work closely with us on improving the cost efficiency. So that is really helping us substantially. And some of it was visible last year, but I think the bulk will come in this year and some of it even next year. So we have an ongoing cost efficiency program currently on within the firm. As regards margins, we don't guide, we're not guiding to any specific margins for this year, just given the volatile environment that exists in the U.S.
So the only guidance we have on is on the R&D line, you're saying, right? 12%.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And top line growth. And top line growth, right? I mean, we've given top line growth and R&D number.
Okay. Thank you so much, Glenn. All the best.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We'll take our next question from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one clarity on the sales guidance of 10 to 15%. Are you already knocking off Zetia sales in 1Q or you are including them?
I mean, we are looking at the total number, Anubhav. Right.
Okay.
So and then we are guiding.
Okay. And what about CapEx? We've done almost $150 million this year. What for FY19, what are you thinking about the CapEx?
It should be in similar lines, Shyam. It should be in similar lines.
About 1,000 crore, intangible fixed assets all put together.
All put together, yeah.
And then one question, GBR 830. Now you are planning phase 2B here. Like in phase 2A, you've done a small efficacy test. So phase 2B, what you're planning will be a full phase 2B trial, or are you planning to do a little more, let's say, a smaller version of phase 2B, but with a larger sample set, what you've done in phase 2A?
No, this is a full-blown phase 2B dose range finding study with three doses and placebo. And so it's a full-blown phase 2B. I mean, the next step for us is to go into a phase 3.
Okay, so how just a rough idea, how long will this phase 2B trial take? 6 months, 1 year, including recruitment of patients?
So it will be around 12 to 18 months, spread over 2 years, this year and next year.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Monish Dave from Temasek. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the time. Two questions. One is if there's any update on Mupirocin which you can provide. And the second one was GSP 101. Where are we on that in terms of getting the product filed? Thank you.
So on Mupirocin, we continue to sell the product. We are expecting one more competitor, maybe towards the second half of this year is what we anticipate. As far as GSP 101, you know, we continue with the development, you know, with the new FDA guidance that came out, I think it was last year, we had to relook at our entire development. But we are hoping to file 101 next year, next financial year.
That will be FY 20.
20, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who has a question may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Alok Dalal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, guys. Glenn, the press release says about business restructuring, that is API and consumer care. Can you help us understand the rationale behind this, please?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we are subsidizing the API business and the consumer care. It's basically helping us with a better focus on the business, also better structure and accountability overall. And there are some financial efficiencies which we hope to derive by subsidizing these two entities, these two businesses.
Okay, and by when do you expect the board to kind of give the report on this?
It should be pretty quick.
Okay. Okay, thank you for taking my questions.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Harith Ahmed from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Can you give a breakup of the other income for the quarter? Because that seems to be on the higher side. And is there a Forex-related gain or loss in the other expenses?
Yeah, Harit, this is Mani here. So the other income is largely the Forex gain this quarter is about 65 crores.
Okay. And is there a Forex component in the other expenses?
No, there is no major component of Forex in the other expenses. It's basically only the income.
Okay. And is there a tax guidance for FY19?
Yeah, it will be about 27% to 28% on a full year basis. Quarter to quarter, there could be some variations, but on a full year basis, it's about 27%.
Okay.
Effective tax rate, okay.
Yeah, got it. And is there an update on the filing timelines for some of the products that we've talked about in the past, like NuvaRing and Abraxane and Suboxone?
So as I said, I think the bulk of it will happen between this year and next year, right? You should see a host of these getting filed.
Okay, and that includes Concerta, generic Concerta.
So I can't give you the specifics. All I'm saying is from a complex product perspective, right, the most of the partnering that we've done, the products will get filed during the course of this year and next year.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone with a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Would you be able to help us with the domestic OTC outlook and how we are perceiving this particular segment?
Sure. I think so. On the OTC side, most of the products that we have are all Rx OTC switches that we do, right? And I think from a business perspective, it continues to do well for us. And we are seeing some high growth in the OTC space. Especially, I think this year, you should see the OTC business growing pretty aggressively on account of some of the new launches. So the strategy there is all Rx OTC switches. So we don't get into completely new products on the OTC side. So far, we haven't done it.
Any ad spends that would increase with these activities that you...
Nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, it's all built into our numbers. You know, for the last 3 years, we've been spending on this business substantially, and now we're up to about 150 plus crores of sales. And we see this business continuing to grow pretty nicely. And I think over time now, the profitability of this business will keep escalating because of the scale that we're getting out of this business.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. We have a next question from the line of Bharat Shettigar from Standard Chartered Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the call. A couple of questions. First is, you mentioned a couple of line items in the cash flow. Can you provide a few more? For instance, what is the net working capital change in FY18 and what is the overall operating cash flow for the year?
Yeah, so this is Mani here. So as far as the working capital is concerned, if you really look at it, our inventory has kind of gone down by about 108 crores. The debtors have again gone down by about 72 crores. Our creditors have improved about increased about 126 crores. So overall, on an overall basis, if you look at it, there's absolutely about 300 crores improvement in our working capital lines. And if you look for some color in terms of the overall cash flows, the EBITDA was about 1615, and we had a cash interest of about 190 crores, a cash tax of 330, and we had about 990 plus crores of asset additions. So all put together, in the end, we ended up with about an improvement in our debt position by about 260 crores.
Okay, that is helpful. Second question is, you mentioned plans to reduce debt. Now, given that the dollar bonds which you have issued, the $200 million issuance, that's trading below par, roughly at around 93 kind of levels, is there any plan to consider a buyback of the bonds?
No, as of now, nothing like that, yeah.
Okay, thanks for that.
Thank you. Any participant who has a question may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just clarification or missed that part. So the guidance is on 10 to 15% guidance is ex-US?
It's on total revenues, Prakash.
Total revenues. So when we say US is probably going to be similar or little better ex-Zitia, I'm trying to understand this 10 to 15% growth. So the other businesses has to grow much higher, right? So it doesn't add up.
So Prakash, I don't think we can give any more color on the guidance, right? I mean, we've, right, in terms
would
of...
Would that be the right way to think? I mean, you're expecting other businesses to grow 20% plus or?
That's correct. I mean, the other businesses will grow faster, yeah.
Okay. And the other number I missed was on the debt reduction for fiscal 19. What are we looking at? Like last year you gave a number.
We are not giving. All we are saying is the business will generate free cash, okay, the core business, right, in FY19, like it did last year. The core business will generate free cash. We are not giving any specific number for 19. And then over and above, whatever corporate actions are there will bring down the debt.
Okay. And would it be fair to say that, you know, India business, which got little impacted due to GST, this year will be much better and would also thus improve gross margins?
So I think India business would continue to grow at about whatever, I mean, overall about 10 to 15%. And obviously the margins are much better there. So, but really speaking, it's difficult to really give a call on the entire business again.
Okay, and lastly, what was the adjusted growth if we add back the GST impact for India business for the year and the quarter?
Yeah, it will be about 11% for the full year.
And for the quarter, sir?
2% extra, you should just add.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone has a question may press star and one. We'll take a next question from the line of Aditya Khemka from DSP BlackRock Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So just on the U.S. business again, sorry to harp on that a little bit, but in terms of, you know, our projections, are we taking constant currency growth in U.S.?
Yeah, it will be constant currency growth only.
Okay, and Glenn, how much do we benefit from a strong dollar? So let's say 1 rupee strengthening of dollar. How much does that percolate to our gross profit or our EBITDA, given that you have costs in the USD as well, right? You have some R&D spend, you have a facility there.
So on a very broad basis, Aditya, for every 1 rupee improvement, we would gain about 30 to 40 crores, okay? Because we have receivables as well as we have borrowings, but we have some overseas loans given. So on a broad basis, for every 1 rupee, we could gain about 30 crores plus.
Okay, fair enough. And Glenn, on the innovator pipeline that we had that you had discussed. So, just trying to understand here as to eventually, you know, would you like to have your own field force across these segments to market these products, or would you look at partnering as a more lucrative strategy when it comes to these innovator products, be it a 505, B2, B10, NC, B10, BE? How would you, you know, look to market them?
So I think, look, partnering is our first preference as far as especially the innovation drugs go, right? On the specialty side also, we are evaluating both options, right? In markets where we have a commercial presence, we may market it ourselves, but in markets where we don't, particularly the US and, you know, some of the major markets, partnering will always be our first option.
Understood. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. Just one thing on the margin front, sir. See, this basically the quarterly margin has come down a bit because of the higher other expenses, it seems. Anything that is any specific reason that is higher, and that particular other expenses item is very volatile over the quarters. So some sense on that, and about the margin guidance also, if you can give some sense about it going ahead.
So for the other expenses, if you look at it on a year-to-year basis, actually it is lower by about a good 10%. Okay. So last quarter is a little bit higher because obviously compared to the previous year, it is much lower. Compared to the last year, last quarter, it's a little bit higher. Obviously, our R&D expenses were a little higher in the last quarter, about 40 crores or so. That's the reason.
Okay. Even adjusted for that also, the other expense number is much higher, it seems.
No, it's if you look at last quarter to this quarter, it's about 65 crores. So if I knock off 40 crores, it's just 20 to 25 crores. That's it. These are normal expenses that keep moving. But if you look at the previous year, it was well in excess of 800 crores for the same quarter.
Okay. And one more question on the kind of observations what we have witnessed for three of our plant recently, the Pithampur plant, API plant, as well as the Monroe plant, US. So whether that will hurt our approval timeline or expectations what we are building in our guidance?
So we have already mentioned that regarding the Pithampur plant, we already received an inspection from Welpol. And second is the Monroe plant is the first inspection.
But during the inspection only that approval has come, Jason, I think.
Correct. Which I think, you can try to read into that.
Okay, so that means we are not really bothered about CY because since there is a little clarity about the...
I think that is all we can comment on the inspections. It's written, everything is mentioned in the NDA that we received an approval and we received it from the same plant that has been inspected. That's all we can say.
Okay, so that means it is from our understanding about the observations and the CAPA what we would have submitted, that gives us the confidence that we are on track.
That's all. As I said, Surya Patra, that's all we can comment, that the approval
okay.
has come in from the plant, that's all we can say.
Okay, then. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Jason D'Souza for closing comments. Over to you.
Thanks. Thanks, Inbal. Just before we close the call, we'd like to make a disclaimer. The call has been organized by Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. The information statement analysis made during this call describing company's objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements and progress within the meaning of applicable security laws and regulation. The analysis contained herein is based on numerous assumptions. Actual results may vary from those expressed or implied depending upon economic conditions, government policies and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. With this, we end Glenmark's Q4 earnings call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.